We are reading from the Old Testament, talking about the time when David would be king, the time before that when Saul would be king, the time when the people of Israel cried out for a king like their neighbors had. First eight verses of chapter 8 of 1 Samuel. The Bible says, when Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as judges for Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah. And they served at Beersheba, but his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, you are old. Not the message you want to hear. Can I get a witness on that? Says, your sons have beaten you at bocce ball. No, that's not what they said. They said to him, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have. But when they said, give us a king to lead us, this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to him, listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning praying that you would speak to our hearts that this is indeed a good book, that your word is a lamp unto our feet. Lord, that as we face challenges in our lives, as we have heard so many relate this morning, that you indeed are the author and finisher of our faith. That your arm is not grown short to save, Lord. That your eyes are upon the righteous and your ears are attentive to our prayer. And Lord, that you would speak to our hearts this morning. And we'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said? Amen. Well, Aaron Bugs. I like what he says. He has his in-town family reunion. Speaks of a whole lot of family reunions going on over there. But politics had encroached in to his discussion. Presidential politics are indeed in the news. And I'm wondering, you got any political junkies out there? It's okay, you don't have to be a... One? One and a half? Okay, all right, see, okay, honesty comes. How many of you could really just care less? Come on. Not involved, not watching it. How many of you are going to get more interested as we get closer to the election? Maybe September, you'll start, oh, okay, there we go. All right. What is interesting about our political choice is never have two candidates been so disliked by so many people. There are those who think that we don't have a valid choice at all. And it is a big choice with Anthony Scalia. Anybody know who Anthony Scalia is? Just put your hand up. Anthony Scalia, Supreme Court Justice. Incredibly conservative justice. If you don't know what that means, come and ask me later, I'll tell you. But what his debt, there's 9 Supreme Court justices. There are left 4 very liberal justices and 4 rather conservative justices. And the next president will at least select 1 Supreme Court justice, and they say, if it goes for 2 terms, up to 3 Supreme Court justices. The next 92 days will be filled with presidential politics. Special report, Real Clear Politics has Clinton up by five points over Trump. Had a bump after the Democratic convention. I was checking stuff this morning for the message that indeed Trump has kicked it up and is 3 points behind. And so there's going to be this horse race, so to speak, for the presidency. And in addition to that, in 92 days from today, we will select 1/3 of our senators. And we will select all of the House of Representatives. And so we are faced with incredibly big choices. The question is, how will you choose? The title of today's message is Opportunities in Opposition. We are in this series, God in Politics, and I'm not really going to be talking about, I know it's going to break, well, probably only break three of your hearts, I saw your hands, but we're not really going to be talking about Hillary and Trump over this next month. I thought it would be interesting to take a look at the politics that are in the Bible, that we would go back 2,500 years or actually almost 3,000 years to the time following Solomon's death. Solomon died in 930 BC. For those of you who are Bible wonks, want to dig in the Word, I give you some rough gauges or some timelines. 2,000 years before Christ is Abraham. 1,500 years before Christ, that's a little early, but 1,500 years before Christ is the Exodus. 1,000 years B.C. is King David. He reigns 40 years. Solomon reigns 40 years. You've got the high point of Israel, massive power, massive wealth, massive everything. And at the death of Solomon, the kingdom is split in two. It's split. It's hard to pick it up there. But you see that green area on the top and the purple area on the bottom. That is the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. God splits the country in two. He does it because of the sin of Solomon. He says, I will split, I will tear the northern kingdom from you, but because on account of your father David, because I have such regard for him, I won't do it in your life, but I'm going to rip it out of the hands of your son. So 930 BC, the kingdom is tore in half, and it does not end well. Northern kingdom is destroyed in 721 BC. No easy way to remember that number. Sorry. By Assyria. We talked about Assyria. They spoke about Jonah last month. 586. We're talking about 930 BC. We're talking about 160 years or thereabouts to the destruction of the northern kingdom by Assyria. And they just annihilate it. They take all the people and they just scatter them all over all the other nations that they have conquered. And then in 586 BC, another 140 years, Babylon comes and destroys the southern kingdom. And what we do, we'll spend our time as we go through this series next several weeks in 2 Chronicles. Now, give you a little extra, a little Bible stuff, no extra charge. 1 and 2 Chronicles parallels 1 and 2 Kings. 1 and 2 Kings history or tradition tells us that Jeremiah writes 1 and 2 Kings. Jeremiah wrote Lamentations. Jeremiah was a prophet, wrote the book by his name. Lamentations, he was known as the weeping prophet. He cried over the destruction of Jerusalem. And so he writes 1 and 2 Kings during the Babylonian captivity, which went 70 years, and it is a portrayal of the failure of God's people. How sin grabs them, and they get so deep down into sin that you just can't get away. Are you tracking with me? Ezra, or somebody in Ezra's time frame, writes the book of 1 and 2 Chronicles. And if you know your Bible and you've read through Nehemiah and Ezra, that is the time of the rebuilding of Jerusalem. where God has called his people back from captivity, and they go and they're rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, they're rebuilding the temple, they're reestablishing sacrifice, they're putting everything back, and there is hope and there is confidence and there's trust in God. And so as he writes Chronicles, he does not see it as the destruction of God's people. He writes it as, man, God has been doing this incredible thing among us the whole time. That there are opportunities that God puts before us. The question for you today is, how will you choose when faced with God's opportunity? Because he'll give you new life. He'll give you his life. And you can choose God's life, or you can choose something else. And we're going to take a look at that today. Now, I have to do one little bookkeeping thing. This is hard. Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom, they split. Because they're split, they get two kings. Track with me now. The Northern Kingdom's king is called Jeroboam. The Southern Kingdom's king is called Rehoboam. No way to make that easier for you guys. Jeroboam up top, Rehoboam on the bottom. I'm going to use him Rehoboam a lot today. I'm going to use them both those names. Jeroboam on the northern kingdom. Jeroboam, the bad guy. Rehoboam in the south, Jerusalem, the temple, the good guy. Okay? So the message of Chronicles is that man, God is on the job. God is working this out. God has been purifying us from sin. God has taken us into captivity. God is going to make something great out of us. And Jesus said, my Father is at work to this very day. And he says, I too am working. And as God took his people through the challenges that beset them to let their lives be transformed into something that was useful, perhaps today.
Wow, that's going to be annoying. That's like a challenge right there, isn't it? How many people think that was worth that? Now it's off? Now it's on? Now it's on. There we go. Jesus said, I am at work to this very day. And perhaps the challenges that you face in your life seem insurmountable. The challenges that you face, you're going, man, this is just so hard. But God gives you opportunity. He says, as you struggle through the challenges of your life, choose me. Choose my life. And I'll take you forever. Amen? That's good news, especially if you got somebody who's in the hospital today. Title of today's message is Opportunities and Opposition, because wherever the Lord's doing a work, the enemy's at work as well. Amen? All right, so here we go. We're talking about the differences between God and man, and God chooses differently. God chooses differently. 2 Chronicles 10. We'll spend our time in 2 Chronicles 10 and 11 this morning. Rehoboam was the good guy. All right. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone there to make him king. When Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard this, he was in Egypt where he had fled from King Solomon. He returned from Egypt. The man who would be king. Rehoboam would be king of the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom. And as Rehoboam heads north, Shechem is in the northern half of the kingdom of Israel, he finds opposition. There were problems that he had that had started under the reign of Solomon. 1 Kings 11:9, the Lord became angry with Solomon because he had these foreign wives. And as he grew older, his foreign wives led him into idolatry. He became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel. And he tells Solomon, I will rip the kingdom from you. I'm going to take it from your son.
Solomon had fallen into sin. He had 700 wives. You know, I got one wife. We're doing a class called Love and Respect. I can't imagine doing Love and Respect with 700 wives. And then he's got 300 concubines. If 700 wives is not enough of a hassle, he's got 300 honeys hanging around so the 700 wives can be more angry. Now, this is the wisest man on the planet. Solomon's making choices, and he's choosing to live his life rather than God's. And God gets involved. God raises up adversaries against Solomon. He raises up the Edomites and the Aramites, and there are battles that are fought. That's something that he did not have to deal with before sin began to devour him. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 31 speaks how the Lord sends a prophet to Jeroboam, the guy who fled to Egypt, that he would be king of the northern kingdom. And Solomon gets wind of that, and he's going to kill Jeroboam so he can't rip the kingdom from his son. Now, I'll tell you what. That when God gives you a message and sends you someplace, you are invincible until you have accomplished that. Can I get a witness on that? He says, hey, you go this way. I had a guy, I was struggling with the ministry that we were at up in Sacramento. And an older minister, I was talking to him, I said, man, I'm freaking out here. I go, it seems as if we are on a freight train going 1,000 miles an hour and there's a brick wall coming. And he said, did God tell you to get on that train? I said, yep. And he goes, stay on that train. It's the only safe place you're going to be until God tells you to get off. Jeroboam got off the train. He's selected to be God's man. He says, here is the God's life for you. And he says, I'm going to go a different way. I'm going to go down to Egypt. I'm going to get away from this threat. And when he finds out that Solomon is dead, he says, hey, maybe I'll come back and try and work things out with Rehoboam. Hardly God's man. Hardly making the choices. See, we all are given choices. We all are given opportunities. There's opposition to those opportunities. But the question is, when offered the life of God, what is your answer? Do you take that life or do you go somewhere else? Continuing on, God's got a different plan. So they sent for Jeroboam, and he went, and he and all Israel went to Rehoboam. So you got Rehoboam going from the southern kingdom where he's already been crowned king, going to the northern kingdom saying, hey, I'm the king. I got the power. I got the money. I got everything. I'm Solomon's son. You guys just need to line up. So they, Rehoboam and his crew, sent for Jeroboam, and he and all Israel went to Rehoboam and said to him, your father put a heavy yoke on us. Talking about taxes. Talking about forced labor. All the wealth and all the stuff that Solomon had came from the people and some gifts from foreigners. Now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us and we'll serve you. First King says, you serve us, we'll serve you. The king answered them harshly. Now that's where I jump ahead. He kind of contemplates this. I got 1 Chronicles 10, 3 to 4, and that's what I read. Now I'm going to read 3 to 5 because he goes off. Ask the old guys that were Solomon's advisors, say, hey, do this, man. You'll reunite the kingdom. It'll be all good. They'll follow you. Everything is good. And he goes to the young men, probably other sons of Solomon. You got 700 wives. That's a lot of sons. Amen? And they're all rich, and they're all, and say, heck with that, man. Crush these people. Get the money, man. They can come up with the cash. Sometimes you hear our politicians talk like that. King answered them harshly, rejecting the advice of the elders. He follows the advice of the young men and said, my father made your yoke heavy. I will make it even heavier. you want to win friends and influence people, that's not how to go about it. So the king did not listen to the people, for this turn of events was from God to fulfill the word the Lord had spoken to Jeroboam. See, God has a different plan. And Jeroboam's still not moving in it. He's selected to be king. Shows up and he's ready to give it away. Hey, let's just hook it up, Rehoboam. I'll serve you. God said, here's the life I have for you. And he says, no. They make the offer to Rehoboam. Be good to us. Serve us. We'll serve you. People of the north are fine with that. People know he's supposed to be king. All the people choosing a different plan than the life of God. We are surrounded in our existence today by people who would go a different route than the route of God in their lives. We're going to read about this route today, how destructive it is to the people. People are fine. Pay us off. What do you want today? Politicians all around us ready to pay you off. All you got to do is vote for them. That's how it always worked. That's what they wanted back then. God moves on the heart of Rehoboam. God hardens his heart. God says, no way. And he really doesn't even realize that it's the hand of God. But God told Jeroboam he'd be king. God told Solomon that he was going to rip half the kingdom away from his son. And this is how he's going to accomplish it. He goes to this meeting. He hardens Rehoboam's heart. And Rehoboam says, no, I'm going to tax you like crazy. And all the people say, we're done with this. And in this, Rehoboam really has no choice. Because it is the discipline of God on the people of God for sin. God gets involved in the lives of his people. He brings discipline. Bible says, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12, God disciplines those he loves. And as his people fall into idolatry, he brings discipline, he brings correction, he brings the lessons of God. When God is teaching you, the number one thing you want to do is learn. When God is teaching, the number one thing you want to do is listen. You don't want to start talking, you don't want to start moving until you get what God wants to teach you. God is teaching something to the people. God is teaching something to Rehoboam. And Rehoboam is just not getting it. God will accomplish his plan in his people. And you take a look at their neighbors, not so much. They fall into sin, and there's a little bit. I mean, we talked about the Ninevites a couple weeks back when Jonah went with a message of repentance. But realistically, people, the neighbors of the Israelites fall into sin, and there is no discipline. There is only the anticipation of judgment. And so if you sit here this morning, and God is speaking to your heart. He's saying, man, you got some stuff that's creeping up in your life. You can celebrate the fact that he speaks to you because you are his child. Can I get a witness on that? And that if he is doing some discipline, learn the lesson. Because there are those who are his child. And they respond like Solomon. And they say, I'll just go my own way. And it does not work out well. Amen? Pastor Dave left on Monday. Oh, honestly now, how many people read James? This week, I'm not talking about forever. All right, he wanted me to know. All right, very good. Thank you. But he left and got back. You guys blessed by his ministry. He's going to come back and live here and do all kinds of good stuff. Amen. It was last year, maybe 18 months ago, that he called
And I can't remember if he told me or he told Lisa, but his Aunt Judy, I think Aunt Judy probably came and heard him preach the first week he was here, decided that she had, or she said that she had this 2006 Town and Country van that she wanted Lisa to have. And immediately, we're like Googling up 2006 Town and Country van. Whoa, look at this. And, you know, and we're doing backflips on this thing. And he says he's going to offer it to his daughter, her daughter, first. Oh. Okay. That's fine. And so, yeah. Lisa was just weeping. You know, No, I'm joking. That's not true. I'm just, can't you? You can joke from the pulpit every once in a while. But, right, so here's the 2006 light blue Town and Country Chrysler, I think, minivan taken care of by somebody with no kids, you know, it's like in good shape and all this kind of stuff. Got to offer it to, it's not really her daughter, I think it's the mother of her grandchildren, and she just really is not interested. Nah. She doesn't want to be driving around no clunky old van. Yoo-hoo! Yeah! But that's like the life of God, man. I mean, there are people, the Lord would come and said, here is new life in me. And I said, nah, I don't think so. Don't move. I'll just live the way I want to live. Yes. Still got me? There we go. Looks like Pastor Bob's going to need to get a new wireless. Yeah. All right. Here we go. All right. We're good. Okay? But you get that? See? Some people, opportunity of God, and they say, nah, I don't think so. Maybe that was you at some time. I'll tell you what. God's offering you an opportunity this morning. I'll be listening. Because who knows? You're going to get another one. All right. Here we go. Facing the challenges of life, we're going to jump ahead to verse 16, Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 10. Challenges of life. When all Israel saw that the king, this is Rehoboam, refused to listen to them, they answered the king, what share do we have in David? What part in Jesse's son? To your tents, Israel. Look after your own house, David. So all the Israelites went home. But as for the Israelites who were living in the towns of Judah, Rehoboam still ruled over them. Then King Rehoboam sent out Adoniram, who was in charge of forced labor. It's like, Adoniram, why don't you go whip these guys into shape? You got training, you got power, you got the ability. But the Israelites stoned him to death. King Rehoboam, however, managed to get into his chariot and escape to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. Rehoboam finds rejection. Sometimes things just don't work out. We go our own way and it just goes south. People of Israel say, we're going to go our own way. They turn their backs on God. They go to their own tents, and it's kind of isolated in Israel. You've got mountains and all this kind of stuff, streams and stuff, that carve up the countryside. And so it's easy to just kind of get holed up in your little area over here and not be messed with anybody. Isolation's hard to govern all that. Well, it's easy to get isolated in the United States. All you got to do is put your earbuds in. And you're not listening to anything. You're in your own little world. 10 tribes break away from Israel, or from the south, from Judah, and they select Jeroboam to be their king. Exactly the plan of God. Rehoboam sends out the slave driver. Now, people say that Trump makes some pretty poor choices. I think this choice here is about as bad as you can get. You send the slave driver out to try and corral the people, and they just kill him. Not a good move. Amen? Are you guys all just tripping out because I said Trump? Is that Trump? And then he has to run for his own life. People choose to go their own way, live their own lives. Rehoboam barely escapes with his life. Life is full of challenges. Many of you going through some. Those challenges bring opportunity. How do you choose? God's life or something else? Continue on, moving to chapter 11. When Rehoboam arrived in Jerusalem, he mustered Judah and Benjamin. Those are the two tribes that were left, okay? He said, I'm not taking this, man. He says, 180,000 able young men to go to war against Israel and to regain the kingdom for Rehoboam. We're going to get this back. We're going to make this right. But the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God. Say to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and all Israel, and Judah and Benjamin, this is what the Lord says, do not go up to fight against your fellow Israelites. Go home, every one of you, for this is my doing. This is the hand of God revealed. Do not go up against your fellow Israelites. So they obeyed the words of the Lord and turned back from marching against Jeroboam. Rehoboam lived in Jerusalem and built up the towns for defense in Judah. Rehoboam's ready for war. Rehoboam is ready to put things back in order, put things back the way they are supposed to be. And he prepares to fight, not realizing that he is fighting against the plan of God. And many of our politicians in this country, they wage a war not realizing that they fight against the plan of God for his people that remain in this country. Can I get a witness on that? That the things of God, the prayer, the word of God would be taken out of every government edifice. Even though they've been there for 200 years, say we can't have God as a foundation for this country. And when you have no foundation, you are as the Israelites were, and they turn their back and they say, what do we have to do with the household of David? And the answer is nothing. Man of God comes, tells Rehoboam and all the Israelites from Judah, saying, this is the hand of God. God is disciplining his people. When you find yourself in the discipline of God, learn the lesson. Rehoboam makes the right choice, turns around, heads back, and begins to function as the king of Judah. Sometimes you don't get what you're going after. To go home, I have to drive through, or I often drive through the neighborhood. And for the last many months, there has been a new skateboard park that's being built right about over there on the end of the footbridge by the old YMCA. And as that thing was being built, I'll tell you, my heart. And they've got that thing done, man. I drove by there one day, and there's like 20, 25 kids skateboarding and doing other stuff over there. And Joe, who's leaving us shortly, going back to school, has been working with the youth. I said, Joe, talk to George, get some lunch, take some lunch over there, meet these kids. You know, I'm just thinking, man, God is going to do a mighty work here. And I'm excited, I'm praying, and I'm praying. And Joe goes, and there's 25 kids there, and gives out all the food. And I'm like, okay, step number one, let's go step number two, let's get back over there. We start going there every day. And you've seen Joe, you know, 6'4". He says, Dad, it's not a good place. He goes, it's dark over there. And the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, now is not the time. I didn't want to hear that message. I wanted to hear, revival's coming. Light the fire of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we want to make opportunities for God
rather than have God make opportunities for us. See, God will put his life before you, and we get to choose his life or something else. What's your choice? We got big choices before us. Amen? All right. People get to choose. We all get to choose. Verses 13 through 17, 2 Chronicles 11. The priests and the Levites from all their districts throughout Israel, the northern section, sided with Rehoboam, king of the south. The Levites even abandoned their pasture lands and property. That's a big deal. Amen? Thank you. Pasture lands and property, and came to Judah and Jerusalem, because Jeroboam and his sons had rejected them as priests of the Lord when he appointed his own priests for the high places and for the goat and calf idols he had made. Those from every tribe of Israel who set their hearts on seeking the Lord, the God of Israel, followed the Levites to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices to the Lord, the God of their ancestors. They strengthened the kingdom of Judah and supported Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, 3 years, following the ways of David and Solomon during this time. And so there is the opportunity for those who are righteous, for those who would run after the Lord, to leave all that they know, to leave all that they have, and to follow Rehoboam to the south, where there is still a worship of God. See, the opportunities that the Lord would give us often require a sacrifice. Can I get a witness on that part? And it is that sacrifice which is often distasteful, where we might say, nah, I don't think so. I got something better to do. See, Jeroboam in the north, even I get mixed up, folks. Jeroboam in the north realized, man, all these people are going for church down in Jerusalem at the temple. They're taking all their money with them. I got to come up with something else. And so he made golden calves, and he set them up in Bethel and Dan to worship. And he got rid of the priests of God, because saying, what are you doing, man? This is not God's opportunity. He said, I just got to get rid of you guys. And he got his own priests. And he set up these golden calves, and there are golden goats where he would set up in the high places. And the people would go to worship and fall into idolatry. And in the same way that they said, oh yeah, man, you treat us well, Rehoboam, we'll follow you. They said, Jeroboam, you treat us well, we'll follow you. And we have politicians in this country that are buying off people right and left. You know what? I don't know that I would go to a Bible study taught by Hillary Clinton. And I don't know that I'd go to a Bible study taught by Donald Trump. I don't know that either one of them are going to take this country any closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes you just got to run away. You're in a situation where there are no good choices. And find a way to move closer to God. See, God will give you the opportunity to grab onto his life. And you can grab on, or you can grab on to something else. Amen? Jeroboam's choosing something else. People who choose God, they chose to leave Jeroboam and run down to leave the northern kingdom. Leave the Levites left their pasture and their flocks and everything. The people left their houses, all their property, and they ran to the south to worship God. When God gives you a choice, it's tied to sacrifice. Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I hope that's you. I hope you are carrying this morning. Last thing we got, verses 17 through 21. Rehoboam chooses poorly. They strengthened the kingdom of Judah and supported Rehoboam, son of Solomon, 3 years. Same verse I read from before. Following the ways of David and Solomon during this time, Rehoboam married Mahalathoth, who was the daughter of David's sons Jeremoth and the son of Abihail, the daughter of Jesse's son Eliab. She bore him sons Jeush, Sheremiah, and Zaham. Then he married Maakah, daughter of Absalom, who bore him Abijah, Attai, Zizah, and Shemaleth. Rehoboam loved Maakah, daughter of Absalom, more than any of his other wives and concubines. In all, he had 18 wives and 60 concubines, 28 sons, and 60 daughters. Rehoboam chooses poorly. Amen? They only ran to Rehoboam for 3 years. Because after 3 years, there wasn't all that big of a difference between Rehoboam and Jeroboam. You see, the very thing that took Solomon off track and got him crosswise of the life of God and the plan of God was when he married foreign wives. And they caused him to worship foreign gods. We will find out in the coming chapters that Maakah was indeed an Ammonite. And the god of the Ammonites was Molech. And that the worship of Molech grabbed hold in the southern kingdom. And it was the sacrifice of infants in the temple to the pagan god Molech that caused God to destroy Jerusalem. You see, there is the life of God that is presented to us, and we can choose it or we can choose something else. And Rehoboam started okay. Solomon started well. But they got confused. And they made poor choices. And they left the life of God behind to choose something else. Picture of a man with 18 wives and 60 concubines is a man who is solely interested in his own pleasure. He is a selfish man that would look for objects to gratify his desires. You know what I'm talking about, ladies? It is not only men that live like this. It is easy in our culture to become selfish and self-focused and live only for ourselves. Jesus says, you want God's life, you got to lay down your life. He says, you want my life, you got to pick up your cross every day. And that cross will get heavy. That cross is rough. Sometimes you get splinters in your shoulder. And it was that roughness and it was that splinters that caused Rehoboam to drop that cross and choose something else. It's a heavy load. But you have opportunity. And God gives us all choices. What do you do with yours? Lisa, you want to come up and play? Cross is a challenge. Come in here today and God is speaking to your heart. You can celebrate that.